Thank you for each and every one that is here and those who are not here, Lord. I thank you that you are pouring out your spirit right now on each and every one of us from the top of our heads like honey flowing down to our feet. That those who have aches and pains, that those go in the name of Jesus. For those that are bound up with any anxiety or fear, that goes in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom and revelation. I thank you, Lord, for hungry people, that each and every person here is hungry for you. That is not business as usual. Oh, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, one of the things that I usually do before I get up to speak is I like to at least make some notes. Kind of have a little structure to it. And I felt like the Lord told me, nope, you don't get to do that today. I'm like, well, but he did give me some guideposts. So that's nice. I loved the testimonies that Joel gave. I mean, can you imagine? Someone got extremely blessed in 2021. Does that mean it could happen in 2022? We see so many different people saying, oh, it's just going to keep getting worse. It's just going to keep getting worse. And no, not in the kingdom that I'm in. There's something I want to read. This is a book that I just got. It's called Wired to Hear, Connecting God's Voice to Your Life, Influence, and Career. Sean Bowles and Bob Hassan. And it mainly focuses on those who are called to the marketplace and just how much God really wants to do in the marketplace. But anyway, I just wanted to read a few paragraphs just to get started here. The beauty of walking in the gifts of 1 Corinthians 13, however, is that we have continual access to revelation, discernment, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and prophecy. And when you walk with the Spirit and carry the mind of Christ, you see the world with eyes of faith, and our current age is a divine setup for God's glory to be revealed, even in the midst of very thick darkness. When you see with his eyes, you have no excuse but to see the restoration of all things that Jesus proclaimed. Practically, we are already being resourced for one of the greatest assignments to see a whole generation touched by the gospel and Spirit. Proverbs 13:22 says, "And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the hands of the righteous." We are set up for a power shift that is worldwide if we allow God to direct our love, give us revelation and unity, and organize our beliefs. And so it's really walking in that kingdom mindset. One of my favorite testimonies from Chris Vallotton, and I'm sure I've shared this before, but it always resonates with me. And he was in, I believe it was Thailand, and it was in the sex trade district, and the red light district, we'd call it, and they were going to go in there to minister, and they did, and they came back, and one of the women that was there where they were staying said, oh, could you feel the darkness? And Chris said, no, all I saw was the light of God. What are we looking at? The darkness or the light of God? Some years back, I had a dream, and I've shared this. It's been quite a while ago, but I had a dream that several of us went on a trip together, and we were in Paris. And we'd been traveling all night, and we were kind of tired, and we decided to go get something to eat. And Paris is a great place to find great places to eat, but no, we went to a Denny's. Yes, we did. And we sat there, and I remember thinking, and then I see different people in booths, you know, our people that was with us in our group, and they are just talking. And I remember thinking, why are we here? And there's this big window, and you can even see the Eiffel Tower, and it's like, but we're sitting in Denny's, and we're satisfied to sit in Denny's, in Paris. Let that sink in Paris. And I remember seeing, you know, the cityscape and the Eiffel Tower, and I'm telling people, it's like, we need to go out there. Why are we here? We need to go out there. We're in Paris. And nobody was paying attention to me. And that just really resonated with me. And then later on, as I'm looking into Paris, this was years ago, it's called the City of Lights. And the Lord was showing me, this is, Paris represents my kingdom. And so many times we're content to stay in Denny's and eat our, I don't even know what their meals are anymore. It's been so long since I've been there. But anyway, the breakfast special. And not go out the door and go in to the city, into the kingdom. And I believe that he wants us to get out of Denny's and into the kingdom and to desire to be there. We traveled a long ways. Now, one of the, I'm in this 31-day challenge. It's on Facebook, Pedro Audro or something like that. But anyway, there's several different, it's an hour a day through the month of January, and they go through Proverbs. And so yesterday I was listening to it, and I just got so excited for the things of God and what he has for us. And so I started reading some things in Proverbs, and I'm just going to read some of the things that I've underlined. This is from the Passion Translation. And I just love the way it reads. But it starts out with verse 1 in, so Proverbs 1:1. Here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, and words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life. Written as Proverbs by Israel's King Solomon, David's son. Within these sayings will be found the revelation of wisdom and the impartation of spiritual understanding. Verse 20. Wisdom's praises are sung in the streets and celebrated far and wide. Yet wisdom's song is not always heard in the halls of higher learning, but in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. So yeah, we don't go off to the universities to get wisdom. Wisdom is in the everyday. Its lyrics can always be heard above the din of the crowd. You will hear wisdom's warning as she preaches courageously to those who stop to listen. And that just really hit me. That wisdom is made available to me all the time. But yet how many times I kind of wring my hands and it's like, I don't know what to do. Am I the only one? don't know. This seems awful hard. This is terrible. Well, Lord, I just pray that you just, no, stop and listen. Wisdom's always talking, always talking. Now, verse 33, but the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace. Free from fear, confident and courageous, you will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. There's this, I was in Taylorville and I went to yesteryear, and I found this little thing that I got by my bedside. It says, give it to God and go to sleep. And if we do, we can sleep. We can rest. So speaking of the storms of life, there was, you may have heard this before, because I've also mentioned this before. I'm just bringing up those things that just really minister to me. And there was a, years ago, there was this art contest, competition. And it had a theme, and the theme was peace. And so all these artists bring in their pieces that they created. And so you saw all these tranquil scenes of rolling hillsides and still quiet waters and mountains and just all these beautiful things. But there was one that just stood out from all the rest. And it was a raging storm on the sea. And at first glance, you're like, peace. Did this artist get the wrong message? But in this painting, there were rocky cliff, and right inside, in this little cleft in the cliff, there was a nest, and there was an eagle with her babies, and she had her wing over her babies. And so there was that peace. And so that piece that was painted overwhelmingly came in first. It's easy to look at a beautiful hillside and to go to the mountains and see in the beautiful streams, but in the midst of a storm, and then to remember that he covers us with his wings. Proverbs 2, verse 6. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God, and every word he speaks is full of revelation and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. For the Lord has a hidden storehouse of wisdom made accessible to his godly lovers. He becomes your personal bodyguard as you follow his ways, protecting and guiding you as you choose what is right. Then you will discover all that is just, proper, and fair, and be empowered to make the right decisions as you walk into your destiny. And then, you know, we'd sang that song that talks about, I lean not on my own understanding. And it reminded me of this in Proverbs 3, verse 9. No, 5. So tiny. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. I've got so many opinions, it's not even funny. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Verse 11, my child, when the Lord God speaks to you, never take his words lightly, and never be upset when he corrects you. For the father's discipline comes only from his passionate love and pleasure for you. In Proverbs, there's a lot of distinguishing between those who are wise and the foolish. And so one of the ways to tell if you're being wise is to read along. And if you do something that says that fools do that and you do it, well, then you know, you better kind of flip over to the other one. Verse 21. My child, never drift off course from these two goals for your life, to walk in wisdom and to discover discernment. Don't ever forget how they empower you. For they strengthen you inside and out and inspire you to do what's right. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing they bring. They give you living hope to guide you, and not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. And I think the enemy is working overtime to get us to stumble, to get us so full of fear and our own opinions and hard decisions that we have to make. I mean, there's people that have to decide, you know, whether they get a vaccination and whether they can keep their job, or all kinds of things. And just in fear over it, but it's just like, you know, we just trust. It's that putting our trust in the Lord. Okay, Lord, you show me what to do. And to know that even if our jobs are in jeopardy, that he's got something else planned. You know, nothing takes him by surprise. I was reading in that book, Wired to Hear, Sean was talking about a woman who had been going to college, and she was so focused. She's going to get her master's degree. She had it all planned out. She wanted to teach, but she was giving it to the Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to be an actress. And she's like, I've never taken acting lessons. I never had a desire to be an actress. But he's telling me to be an actress. So she always said, I'll listen to you and I'll do what you tell me to do. So she packed up and moved to California. And she took acting lessons, started running out of money, so she was going to have to work. Well, she could be a substitute teacher and make pretty decent money. And the Lord said, nope, I want you to be she got a vision. She was a barista at Starbucks. She's like, I've never been a barista, never wanted to be a barista, but yet here I am. So she goes, and this was 2009, so everybody was applying for jobs then. You know, it's not like what we have now where there's just tons of jobs everywhere. And so she applies at the Starbucks, and there's hundreds of applicants. She has absolutely no experience, and they hire her. And then she gets to know all the people there at Starbucks that she works with, and they're all aspiring actors, musicians. And she just starts mentoring them, and she just starts loving on them. And she started encouraging them, and they're like, wow, I can do something. I can be something, you know. There is a plan and a purpose for my life. And so one of the young ladies she worked with got a call to audition, and she got this really good part. And so what had happened was one of the actresses there had to have surgery, so they needed somebody to fill in that part. And this young lady said, I know somebody that would be perfect. She works at Starbucks with me. And so this woman tries out, and she winds up playing in all these different roles throughout Hollywood, but yet she's been mentoring people. And so sometimes God will have us do something that's totally seems off the wall to have him to tell us to do something we have absolutely no interest in, that was never on our radar, but yet he knows and he has the plan. And so that just really, I don't know if that speaks to anybody here, but you never know what he's going to tell you. I have one more that I want to read, and this is in Proverbs 4, verse 20. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into every core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. And so basically, I just want to wrap up this part of it, is that we were created to hear the voice of God. And it comes in all different ways. When you see in the Word of God, it can come in dreams, visions, angels, trances, impressions, that audible, still, small voice of God, divine revelations, scents and smells, divine translation and transportation. That was pretty cool because, you know, those that just translate somewhere else, you know? We see that in the Word of God, but also I've heard testimonies of people who went to the airport. I remember one said, you know, she went to the airport, she didn't have money to get a ticket. She's like, well, Lord, you're going to have to provide. She goes into the bathroom stall, and then she's transported to the place where she wanted to go. Now, that's the way I want to travel. Amen? Although it'd be nice to know where you're at. Wouldn't that be something? It's like, where am I? I have no idea. That's where GPS comes in handy. But I remember one of the grandkids said, if you had superpowers, what would you want? I don't know. What would you want? She goes, I'd like to fly. I'd like to teleport. And I don't remember what the other one. Oh, be able to run really fast or something like that. I said, you know that's in the Bible? There was someone, I don't remember who it was now, Elijah, who outran, what's that? Philip? Well, Philip was, yeah, he was translated. And then the fast one, Elijah, outran a chariot, a horse and chariot. Got to the gate before the horse and chariot. And then we see those who are translated. And so there's a lot of things that are superpowers that we see right here in the Word of God. And I think that would be awfully cool. We talked about that in a small group one time. It's like, wouldn't that be something to be able to be translated somewhere? Kind of scary, though, maybe, yeah. But so there's all different ways. And so my encouragement for all of us is to just expect it to get better and better and better. You know, unfortunately, Steve and I still get the State General Register. We don't pay for it. It was a gift from his mom a couple years ago, and they just keep giving it to us. And so, you know, it comes in and Steve sets it on the table and everything has to do with COVID or, you know, race problems or this or that. And I have to go like clear almost to the back to find good news. And even then it's just Hobby Lobby has 50% off something. And I'm like, that's pretty sad when that's the only good news in the whole paper. And, but, you know, God, oh. He's got some great things for us. Do not be discouraged. Do not lean on your own understanding. Be excited for what he has and what he wants to do and the destiny that he has for your lives. And it could be way out, way off from what you ever thought, like the woman who knew for sure she was going to go into education and she was making the way and the Lord said, nope, you're going to be an actress. So, I'm excited, and I hope you're excited. And what we're going to do, oh, I got to do the special. He said, give him a, you know, the secret wave to let him know. Okay, you got it? All right, cool. And but what we're going to do is we're just going to do a little instrumental, and I just want you to take some time just to listen. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is wisdom, and see what he has to say to you. And so let's do a little bit of that.
Thank you.
Did anyone hear something from the Lord that you want to share?
We've been hearing about the miraculous provision of God. We've been hearing about all the ways in which God works and supplies. And as we face a new year, I want us just to consider for one brief minute the feeding of the 5,000. If you look at the first three accounts in the Synoptic Gospels, you see that it says that Jesus gave the loaves and the fish to the 12, and they gave them to the crowds. In John's gospel, it's different. John says that Jesus gave the loaves and the fish to the crowds. Wait, is that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Jesus gives us the things that he wants, and we give them to others. Jesus is ministering through us to other people the very little that we have, the five loaves and the two fish, but in his hands they're multiplied so they can feed thousands. Why does God provide for us so richly? Why does God heal us? Why does he restore relationships so that we can be instruments in his hand to bring healing to many others? So what I would like you to do is to consider this. It's not just that Jesus distributes bread and fish. It's that we become the broken bread and we become the poured out wine that other people need. So ask yourself on the eve of this, or on the beginning of this brand new year, let me, Lord, how can I, Lord, become the broken bread and the poured out wine?
Thank you. You have something, Fritz? All right. What's that?
Can I share something? Yes. Catch you in a corner. You can't say no. I was glad you said, does anyone have anything to share? I wouldn't have shared except I think what I had to say really fit in with what you said. Next Sunday is going to be our last Sunday before we go to Cambodia, and I wanted to just say goodbye because I don't know what will happen next Sunday. I don't know what's going to happen one day from the next. But I wanted to just tell you a little bit of why. About 10 years ago, I got on somebody's newsletter for a missionary, and I never really I'm on too many things, you know. So I thought, oh, I'll read it, and then I'm going to unsubscribe. But I read it, and I thought, this dude is different than most missionaries, and so I started reading it, and I really liked the way he talked, and so I started corresponding with him, and it turned out they were coming to furlough for a while in the U.S., and we're right in the middle, and we had a little rental house next door. So I said, well, you know, we got a spot where if you guys need a home base, you know, we'd like to meet you. Well, it turned out they stayed in our home for a while, a couple times, and we just really clicked with them, and they were from Cambodia. And so before they left to go back, I jokingly said, hey, maybe next time we'll come visit you. I thought, yeah, that'll never happen. But the Holy Spirit began to work. And so, you know, what you said about be ready and be open. And so we thought, okay, well, this can't really be the Lord. Linda was really scared, and you know, it was just totally off the realm of possibility. I grew up after World War II, and my father had us, we watched a lot of movies about Japanese horrible things that happened in World War II, and I wanted nothing to do with Asians, and because I saw all this stuff, you know, well, God completely changed my heart. So we went over there, spent a couple weeks, and came back, thought, oh, boy, that was hard, but it was fun, and the Lord began working in our heart again, And then they wrote to us and said, you know, if you guys have talents that we could use if you ever felt like coming back and helping us. Linda teaches music. I've worked with children. Linda and I met in a music group years ago and got married out of that group. And again, over that next year, God began working, and we went back. The third time we went there, maybe it was the second time, I can't remember. This will be the sixth year. One of the teachers, we started teaching music to Khmer children, and they knew nothing about music and worship songs, and we led them in worship. And one of the teachers during our time, the adult teachers, began to weep. And so our translator said, well, how come you're crying? I think it was Soka. And she said, but the Lord just spoke to me something. She said, 5 years ago, some people like these people came to our village, and they led us in singing, and we realized that we didn't know how to sing. And so we and the children began to pray that God would send somebody to us. And she said, he just spoke to me that those two people up there are the answer to our prayers. And we were kind of surprised, but I counted back 5 years from that date. That's when I started reading that missionary's newsletter. So that's where we're going. And, you know, we're going to miss you. But you're going to just do whatever God asks you to do. And sometimes it seems really off the wall. But the Lord said, my sheep know my voice. And we're all learning to know him. But the most important thing is take a chance and step out. The worst thing that'll happen is someone's going to laugh at you. You'll get through that, Joel. Now God's fixed you. So I just wanted to say a formal goodbye. We may be here next week. We may not, but that's why we're going. And so if you don't see us for a while, we'll be back in April. That's why. So
we'll stay up here so we can pray over you, just in case you're not here next week. If you're here next week, we'll pray over you again. How's that?
Yeah, Linda will be with me. She'll want to.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Well, let's just do a prayer now, just in case we don't see. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord God. We just send him forth with our prayers, with blessings. And we just thank you, Lord, that you provide everything they need, safe travels. And Father, we just thank you that they are making a huge impact in your kingdom, Lord. And so we just bless them now and bless the gifts that you have inside of them. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Thank you. Yes. I just encourage people that if you do have something that a word for them from the Lord, that you know, just pray and yes, give that to them.
Okay. As Jan was talking, there were several things that she was talking about, wisdom, you know, struggles. Psalm 90, 12 through 14 jumped out to me. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. And that just so struck me with what Jan was saying, because I'm one that I can have a string of joyful days. I can have a string of being confident that I'm loved, that I'm close to God, and I appreciate them, and they're significant, but when I'm in the midst of a trial, those are the days I count. Those are the days of, God, how long is this going to go on? And that's what it's saying here. It says, teach us to number our, to count the number of our days that we may gain of heart of wisdom. The more I believe, you've heard me say it before, I believe that God made us to live out of our hearts. You know, when it tells me to gain a heart of wisdom, to be satisfied with his, to take his unfailing love and to be satisfied and to sing for joy and gladness. That's when the struggles, that's when there's victories, you know, the mountaintop. You know, I'm so glad I shared what I did about the mountaintop because someone came up to me and shared with me that they've been asking God that same question about why does that say climb the mountain with open hands? I would love to say that because it's one of my favorite songs that I had some revelation years ago on that. But as we were singing this morning, God gave me that revelation of the open hands so he can grab our hands and pull us up. You know, I think this scripture here, like Jan, you know, she gave us many ways to gain wisdom. You know, one of them is scripture. But I encourage you that to be still and know he is God. We all can hear from God. I'm grateful that early in my walk with the Lord, one day in my prayer, I'm giving God thanks for something, and all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, why'd you do that? Because in my childhood, the experience I had with choice or with church, there was no explanation that we personally can talk and hear from God. So my encouragement with all this is that, as Jan was saying, there's so many ways that we can hear from God. We just have to be still. We have to be joyful. We have to gain that heart of wisdom.
Thank you. This morning, I was reading in Luke chapter 7, and he revealed something to me that I hadn't seen before, and I didn't know why. But I was struck by chapter 7, verse 9, because it says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Talking about the centurion who knew that Jesus could heal his servant without having to be there, without having to be where the servant was. He just knew he could do it. He trusted him. He believed he could, and he just counted on it. I find that so refreshing and so exciting to think Jesus can be amazed. And delight in our faith, our trust in him that he can. I believe he's a... amazed at Fritz, and I believe that we will see him be amazed at us through this year.
Yes. Fritz is getting out of Denny's. So that's my word for everyone is do not stay in Denny's when you're in Paris. You got something? Okay.
I was just going to say, I've been praying for years, Lord, to give me a way to help people to give seed to sower. And at the beginning of this pandemic, I started getting like $200 a month food stamps, which I was never getting before. And I eat a breadline. I don't like to cook. That's not my pleasure. So I just I buy knickknacks and vegetables and stuff, and they just kept building. I could count over $2,000 worth, and I sold them. I found somebody who would let me sold it through them, legally, of course. I mean, I bought the food. That's the way you do it. I have to buy the food. And I sold for some people for Thanksgiving, and my food stamps went up another $75. My rent went up. My food stamps went up another $75. So, like, if somebody knows somebody needs help, I'll do this legally, of course. Talk to the pastor or Greg or whoever, and come to me, and I would like a witness from his church to go with me, and I will get them food. But towards the end of the month is when I get the money.
Yes, amen. It's got its own little food pantry going. All right, well, I pray that, let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, and we just thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to our hearts, and that we are not content to just stay in one place, but that you have amazing plans for us. You have destinies for each and every one of us, and you could not be any more thrilled with us. You could not be in any more love with us, Lord God. No matter what we do, you love us deeply. And so, Father, I just pray that every single person here will feel that deep, deep love. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.